My name is John Moss. I'm a councillor in the London Borough of Waltham Forest. And when the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, proposed to expand the ultra-low emission zone from the centre of London in 2017, he made those proposals, going beyond what Boris Johnson had proposed before him, which was just the central London zone. Myself and other London Conservatives looked at the proposals and recognised immediately that this would be a massive impost on people who could not afford to change their vehicles, primarily low-paid people who relied on their vehicles, such as carers and cleaners, and also older people who probably bought a good car 5 years prior, thinking it would see them out, but who lived on relatively low incomes and needed those vehicles only for a few journeys. But if they were going to cross the North Circular, I'm in North London, it was £12.50 to drive to the local hospital. And I joined a campaign consultancy, new job in March 2020. And the company runs campaigns that it wants to run. And they allowed me to run the Stop ULEZ campaign with a view to spreading that message and the underlying data behind it to challenge this, I think, a rather lazy assumption that London's air is poisonous and we must get rid of all cars in order to allow people to live a decent life. When in fact, London's air quality has been improving for more than a decade. The number of car journeys for work, to and from work, has halved over 20 years, and the number of journeys to work by bicycle has quadrupled. And actually, air quality is nothing like as poor as it was 20 years ago and is projected to get even without this scheme.
There was another project tried in the 1980s, which also massively reduced the use of cars and reduced pollution in London, and that was with the Labour mayor in his early days, Ken Livingstone, who introduced something called Fares Fair, which was reducing public transport fares. Well, what it ended up happening is that many people actually either left their cars at home or even sold their cars in order to use public transport, the trains, or I think that was it only initially applied to the buses, but it made an enormous difference. Now, that was a carrot approach. This is a much more of a stick approach. Can you just compare the two? Is it possible to compare them?
Well, if you make something very cheap, then you make it more attractive. And I think making London's buses very cheap was attractive when a lot of people worked locally. Because a bus journey from Chingford to Walthamstow might have taken you 15 minutes. But nowadays, people don't work quite as locally, particularly in the outer London suburbs, so outside the North Circular, and even, from the central zone out to the North and South Circular, people commute much longer, and I don't think the an equivalent policy today would work. You're right that the ULEZ charge is a stick, and it's explicit in the consultation documents that TfL put out back in 2017. The gain in air quality by 2030 had gone. We will be, or we will be, it was projected to be in exactly the same place in 2030 as it would be without the scheme. The benefit came solely from people changing their vehicles early. And what we've seen with the Central London ULEZ coming in 2019, and maybe a bit of pandemic benefit from people who weren't paying a lot of money to commute, saving money and spending that money on new vehicles. We've seen a lot of corporate vehicles change, and we've seen a lot of private vehicles for those who can afford them change. And the rate at which people have taken up compliant vehicles far exceeds what TfL ever predicted. So what we have got is we've got the same number of vehicles driving around. The vast majority of them are compliant and not paying anything, and the difference in pollution is what was expected to be achieved anyway. It's just come a little bit earlier.
Yeah, it almost seems like a kind of help to buy a new car scheme.
Well, there is a scrappage scheme if you're poor enough to benefit from it. But I had a vehicle that wasn't compliant, 2008 BMW X3 diesel. It was actually written off in an accident, not our fault, I hasten to add. But the price, the money we were given for that car was £4,000 lower than it would have been a year earlier, when the expansion of the ULEZ had not been promulgated. And I was able to absorb that. You know, I'm fortunate enough to be able to absorb that. But again, I go back to the carer working on a minimum wage, using their own car to visit 12, 14, 15 clients a day, shift workers who can't use public transport because they're traveling when public transport's not running. And as I say, older people who have a perfectly good car in which they maybe do 2,000 miles, 3,000 miles a year. One trip to our local hospital from Chingford, and that's £12.50. Forget parking charges at the hospital on top. £12.50 to take your sick partner to hospital. And if you take them at 10 o'clock at night and come back at 2 o'clock in the morning, £25 to do that is a very significant impost. And I don't know how the mayor got that past the equalities and diversity assessment, given the people who work in those industries and older people being classed as a vulnerable group. It does seem very strange to me that that was glossed over. But again, I think it comes back to this PR campaign that London's air is killing people, that thousands of people die every year because of poor air quality. I accept that people die earlier than they might otherwise have done. But the private car and the plumber's van and the carpenter's estate car or whatever is demonised in all this, when actually domestic gas boilers put out more nitrous oxide than all the vehicles, not just the non-compliant ones, all the vehicles in London. And when you come to particulate matter, less than a quarter of it comes from vehicles. Half of it comes from dust that's blown in from agricultural fields around London. So there is this demonization of people who need to use their cars for essential journeys or for work. And the gains, frankly, are marginal and vanishing very rapidly.
Well, it's fascinating to see that this is such a massive expansion of what was actually a fairly small scheme in 2019, you know, in the inner, I think it was in the congestion charge area in the central London. Can you tell us about the difference between these two schemes? Because as I understand it, there's going to be actually, I don't know how many, but maybe even 100,000 people caught up with this new scheme, that whereas the old scheme didn't affect residents, this new one will include all those residents now living, which is a, you know, almost probably the majority of Londoners living within the North and South Circular Road.
Yeah, it's approximately half the population of London live within the North and South Circular Road.
So how many is that, do you know?
That will be somewhere around 3.5 million people. That's probably somewhere around 2 million households. And obviously they don't all have cars, and car ownership, you know, households with access to a vehicle in central London and inner London, as it's being termed inside the North and South Circulars, is less than it is in outer London. But nevertheless, I mean, the estimate, I saw one today, there's an estimate that 150,000 vehicles a day might be caught and have to pay the ULEZ charge. And yes, the zone is 100 times bigger than the central London zone, which, as you say, matched the congestion charge zone. And the other egregious aspect of this scheme is that with the expansion goes the residence exemption that was granted to people inside the central London zone. That is disappearing. And there are no exemptions for people who have disabled badges, disabled drivers. the only way a disabled driver gets an exemption is if they have an adapted vehicle and they have to apply for a certificate of exemption. It's not automatic. So if you are that elderly couple with a partner with a gammy knee or perhaps had an amputation or something like that, then and you need to take them to hospital, you don't get an exemption because you've got a blue badge. And not a lot of people realise that early on. And it was one of the key points we wanted to get across. And a lot of the disabled groups in London have highlighted the discriminatory nature of the ULEZ because everywhere else they go and everything else they do, they have an exemption, but they don't have an exemption from the ULEZ charge. And it's £12.50 a day if you move your vehicle inside that zone. If you're working 5 days a week, that's £62.50 a week off your take-home pay. And that is an awful lot of money when, you know, we are facing a difficult time with rising inflation, food prices, fuel prices, etc., and particularly domestic energy costs. And to load this on top at this time is particularly against the figures that do demonstrate that there really is very little environmental justification for it. And the great fear is that with TfL in financial straits because of the pandemic, either the charges will go up or vehicles that are exempt this year won't be exempt next year, or that the zone will be expanded further to cover potentially the whole of the metropolitan area of London.
Now, last time I was in London, I was using public transport and chatting to a couple of, actually, they're quite difficult to find these days, workers on the London Underground. They were complaining about Boris, saying, well, wasn't he terrible as mayor and isn't he now terrible as prime minister? And I quipped to them. I said, well, is Sadiq Khan any better? And they hung their heads and they said, he's even worse. Now, I don't quite know if that counts as a quote from them, because it's just hearsay from me, but it does seem as if there is something very strange politically about this, John, in that people, as you say, are being hit most by this charge are people like the disabled, ethnic minorities in basic jobs. We're talking about key workers too. People who are in public service who don't get paid as much as they would do, say, in the commercial sector. But then at the other end of the spectrum, you've got the super rich with their brand new company cars, their £40,000-£50,000 Chelsea tractors, the brand new ones. We will not be paying this fee.
Couldn't put it better myself. and I think this is the point that the private motor car and the workman's van has been demonized by those who are promulgating the scheme as the culprit in this, when actually they are not responsible for the vast majority of emissions. When the first consultation was run, the figures for London for nitrous oxide emissions were clear. There were 2013 figures, and 49% of nitrous oxide emissions came from road transport. But only 25% of that, I think it was, 25% of that 49% came from petrol and diesel cars, and that was all petrol and diesel cars, not just those who were not going to be exempt from the charge. And the vast majority of the rest of that came from domestic and commercial gas used for heating and cooking. And, you know, I'm a great believer in moving towards a more environmentally responsible use of energy, more environmentally responsible transport. But gas is a lot cheaper than electricity to heat your home and heat your water and cook your food, even with the recent price hikes. And gas is used, obviously, to create a lot of electricity in power stations. So shifting away from gas is going to be expensive anyway. But there's far, far greater gains to be had. And you know, some of the alternatives to just hitting people who don't have a choice is to invest in things that will improve London's energy network. You know, that you could encourage vehicle conversion to LPG. That reduces both particulate and nitrous oxide emissions. You can incentivize developers. The Mayor of London is responsible for setting planning policy in London. He could have declared in 2016 that by 2021, no new domestic building in London should be heated by gas. He could have done that. He could have made it an environmental policy. He hasn't done. He's chosen not to do that. And there were some figures in, I think they were in the Times, either yesterday or today, possibly Wednesday. Wednesday was yesterday. Basically saying there were more gas boilers installed in properties in the UK in 2019 than there were in 2015. We are still adding to the problem with domestic gas and electricity, yet it is the motorist and the car owner, that carer, that cleaner, that shift working nurse, that elderly couple who bought a car 5 years ago thinking it would see them out. They are the people who are being demonized unfairly as the source of air quality problems in London, which are largely restricted outside of central London. They are largely restricted to major routes and junctions. And you can even tackle those with technology. There is technology out there that will literally suck air through filters and remove particulates. There are natural products. Moss is a particularly good product for this, which you could line the cuttings of the North and South Circular with it, and it would absorb the nitrous oxide because it likes it and it grows on it. And there are lots of technological things that could be done to help reduce the impact of the vehicles that do produce nitrous oxide and particulate emissions. I'm not saying they don't. But instead, it's a charge. And there was almost a glee in the Transport Commissioner's statement that he put out a couple of days ago saying we're going to make 5 million a week out of this. You know, they're not actually interested in reducing emissions because they know it's happening anyway. They want the money. And to my mind, it is highly likely that when the money dries up, because almost all cars, vans, motorcycles, etc., are compliant, they'll tighten the standard further. They'll expand the zone.
But it was a political question I was asking you. You know, you're a Conservative councillor. We like to think, I suppose, of the Conservatives as looking after the fairly well-off and the middle class. This is a Labour mayor that seems to be penalising the poorest in London who have vehicles and actually the disabled too, which sounds extraordinary. What is going on? Can you explain that for us?
Well, I've always liked to think that the Conservatives look after the economy and everything else for everybody. You know, when Jeremy Corbyn claimed he was campaigning for the many and not the few, I used to retort, we're campaigning for everybody. Because actually, everybody is better off in a cleaner environment. Everybody is better off in a low tax competitive economy that generates private sector jobs to generate the taxes that pay for public services. And that's why I'm a Conservative. But this campaign, the Stop ULEZ campaign particularly that I set up with my company's support, wasn't political. It was against that scheme, and it was against that scheme for those reasons. And I don't know why Sadiq Khan chose to do this in the face of the evidence of it hitting older people, people working in industries in low-paid jobs with a very high propensity of people from ethnic minorities working in those industries, in those jobs. I don't know why. I think policy should be humane and evidence-based, and I don't think this one is.
Well, you know what the polls say, or at least I was told, is a saying in Poland, when you don't know what it's about the money. Anyway, just finally, I wonder what you make of these Extinction Rebellion protesters that have been also blocking the M25. What they're calling themselves is Insulate Britain, even though they don't seem to have understood that most of the insulation that's going into Britain, if nothing changes, is going to be plastic and different sorts of plastics. So just wonder if you could wind up, John, with a little sense of what you make of the M25 being blocked, because it doesn't seem to have really done anything but give Priti Patel an excuse to clamp down on protest.
I think it's symptomatic of the world we live in. There was a report from Hootsuite, people who provide management platforms for social media campaigns. It was basically saying the consumer is king. They want choice. They want quality service. They want the things that they want, and they want them now. And I'm afraid we live in a world where people want it now. And Extinction Rebellion and Insulate Britain and those who claim we are on the verge of an economic, sorry, an environmental catastrophe if we don't immediately stop doing certain things that we've all worked very hard to be able to afford to do, drive a nice car, take the family on holiday, put the heating on in winter, that sort of thing. If we don't immediately stop doing that, then the planet will die. That is their mindset, and they don't believe that that enough is being done. The UK has reduced its CO2 emissions by 44% since 1997. And a lot of that gain has come in the last 10 years. At the same time, the economy has grown by 70%. And we are one of the countries that has the very best record in terms of reducing our environmental impact. It's small to start with, but we've reduced it substantially. And that gives us a leadership position in the world. But I'm afraid, like most political zealots, and I believe they are zealots, they're not prepared to look at the evidence. And they simply want what they want, and they want it now. And they should put themselves up for election. And if they put themselves up for election, then the people will decide whether they support them or not. Some interesting polling. A lot of people support moves to green our economy, to change vehicles from internal combustion engine to electric, to reduce the CO2 output from the generation of energy. A lot of people, very substantial majority of the general population. But they want it to be done with them, not to them. They want to go along with the reasonable plan that sees it done over a time that they can afford it. And I think the media have something of a culpability here by saying, oh, gas boilers will be banned, people thinking that they will be forced to change the gas boiler that is sitting in their house, rather than in 20 years' time when it needs replacing. They might not be able to get a gas one, but might have to get something else. And I think we need to have a political conversation as adults about what can be achieved, when it can be achieved by, and how that can be done fairly to particularly the lowest paid and the most vulnerable in our society. And I'm afraid that ULEZ is a good example of that conversation not being had, or being had in a tone which is not civilized and sensible and grown up. And instead, we've got a scheme that means a carer or a cleaner who are working on the minimum wage, 6 days a week, 5 days a week, using their own vehicle, could well be £62.50 a week, worse off. And they're just going to give up their job. It'll be as simple as that. They'll be out of work. They'll be on benefits. There'll be another drain on the taxpayer. And that is a consequence that I don't think has been thought of when the scheme was expanded.
Yeah, but hang on, John, because they might just give up their car, and surely that'd be a good thing. They'll go on public transport.
Have you tried being a carer with all the equipment you have to carry for 10, 15 different clients? You have to change your PPE for every appointment. You have to put that in a secure bin in the boot of your car. You have to, you have cleaning materials. You can't take that on public transport. It's simply impractical. And the blinkered view, and I do believe it is a blinkered view, that everybody can take a bicycle or can use public transport, is, well, it is that. It is blinkered. Not everybody can. And as I say, you have to take people along this journey with you if you are going to achieve what we want to achieve. And as I say, there's a lot of support for achieving it. I think there's also a lot of fear and a lot of concern about what that means for individual households in terms of the costs they might face. And the gas price hike, which has caused a lot of problems and a lot of hardship in the last few weeks, and is going to cause quite a lot of hardship over the next year or two as those higher prices have to be passed on to customers. You know, that's going to bring it home to people that this transition that we're trying to make has got to be planned. It's got to be done in a way which doesn't impact on the poorest in society. And, you know, we've had to borrow half as much money as we borrowed to fight the Second World War in relative terms to deal with a COVID pandemic. We have to get the public finances back in some semblance of order in order to be able to support any moves towards a greener environment. And we're doing a lot already, and we're achieving a lot already, and we need to have that grown-up conversation.
Well, I suppose at least the magicians at Volkswagen and places like that have managed to change the diesels so they don't kick out so many emissions. Although I do wonder if maybe there's a fraud. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time, would it, that they've fixed the figures. Anyway, thank you very much for your time, John Moss, councillor in Waltham Forest. Thanks very much for joining us, and also one of the organisers of the Stop ULEZ campaign. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.